from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Well, Texans-Rams joint practice today, H-Town. And I'm going to tell you, man, if you were there, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not and you hadn't been over to see this team practice, you're going to be proud of them, man. These cats straight work, man. They get it. They are blue collar. They're grinders. They're repping H-Town in so many ways. And I think that the blue collar H-Town, for damn sure, not that everybody can't relate, but blue collar H-Town, the majority of our city, and definitely the cloth that we're cut from, can greatly appreciate what D'Amico Ryans and company has what they've created over there. And today was a joint practice. If you don't know what a joint practice is, it's the one team comes in, visits the other, and instead of you practicing against your own guys, you got another team in there. So you practice and ultimately scrimmage. You don't keep score, obviously, but you against another team. And I'm going to tell you, joint practices have been around hell since I was playing. I remember with the Dolphins coming to Houston when I was playing with the Dolphins and having a joint practice here. At the facility versus with the Houston Texans for a couple of days, actually, if I remember correctly, in the preseason. So they've always been around. Today was the first day that I watched a joint practice. And I'll say this, too. I remember going to Green Bay, golly, man, 4 years ago.
Yeah, that was
right before COVID. I remember going to Green Bay and watching Texans-Packers joint practice in Green Bay. And the schedule was like a normal practice. There was just two teams doing it, right? In other words, you had individual, you had 7-on-7, you had 1-on-1, you did all that stuff, and then you had some brief 11-on-11 at the end of practice, right? Well, today it's like D'Amico Ryans and Sean McVay got together and said, nah, to hell with all that individual, the 1-on-1, the 7-on-7. Let's go straight into team. And let's get as many team reps as we possibly can. Let's work third down. Let's work red zone. Let's work, you know, the third and short stuff to where it's a little bit more run heavy and play action heavy. Let's work 2-minute offense. So they were able to work a ton of different situations. And I'm not exaggerating here. I would bet the over on this if I were betting. I bet the Texans defense got 100 snaps today, and I bet the Texans offense got 100 snaps today. There was a lot of football play today. There was a lot of snaps taken. The work was absolutely some of the best work that I've ever seen. Like I said, they stretched and went straight into team, and it was impressive work. Great job by D'Amico and McVay, the head coach of the Rams. A couple of things, 30,000 foot view, if you will, to me that really stood out, because this is the first time up close and personal, with the exception of the couple of preseason games, make of those what you will, that we've seen the Texans up against a team that is a playoff caliber team, that if they made a run to a Super Bowl wouldn't surprise you. That's a really, really good football team in the NFC. Even when they don't have all their big guns, they still win games and go to the playoffs. This is a very well-coached team. They got a great quarterback. They got some great targets. They got a great plan. It's just a very healthy organization. And so this is the first time. What have we seen? We've seen Chicago, Pittsburgh, and the New York Giants. Pittsburgh's obviously a good organization, but they need to come up. They've been struggling of late. Like, this is the first organization to me that I look at and I go, okay, this is a very healthy organization. How do the Texans match up? And I think a 30,000 foot view, Ron, a couple of things on the Texans side that I took away was the defense. I was able to look at one field and watch the Texans defense and look at the other field and immediately, like literally play boom, 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 back to back plays. And it was one-on-one, right? So I was able to look and watch immediately in real time. And it was the first 10 minutes of practice, it jumped off. The Texans, without a doubt, have embraced this swarm mentality that we've heard of from day one with D'Amico Ryans. They are... And I'm not saying they're better than the Rams. They're just different right now. Like, it was blatantly obvious that this team wants to get in your face. They want to get in your chest. They want to be the most aggressive team on the field. They want to strike fear into you. And they're willing to risk maybe you throwing the ball over their head a time or two. Not that it happened that I saw. Ron watched the defense a little more than I did, so maybe he saw. But they are going to be aggressive and try to impose their will on the opponent. And that, to me, in the first 10 minutes of practice, that was the difference in these two defenses. One of them, and I don't know the Rams defense that well, but one of them was sound in scheme and playing good football. That's the Rams. And the other one was loud, obnoxious, in your grill, physical, and to me, that's this team fully embracing the swarm mentality from D'Amico Ryans.
No, they all of it. It was, as you, I think you said as well, particular the linebacking group and the secondary.
Yes, where stood it out
was,
big time.
Was they were a lot more aggressive press, like we've talked about, and it's interesting that they would do this to a team like the Rams that has the weapons they have and the coach they have. Obviously, they didn't have a game plan today and the quarterback they have. But we've talked about what teams have done to the Texans prior to last year when you'd use the term suffocate defenses.
Yep.
And that is like everybody come down and play ultra aggressive and almost dare you to beat us over the top. That's how their secondary, their linebackers as well, that's how they were playing today against a Rams team, and you could see they were aggressive, physical, in a big way.
Yeah. So
that came through a lot.
Well, it's clear that what they're preaching, and this is one of the most beautiful things about D'Amico Ryans. Clearly, everybody's in love with D'Amico at this point, given what he's done. But I mean, it just seems the stuff that he preaches, the stuff that he hangs his hat on, boy, it's, you don't have to listen to the guys talk about it, although they will. All you got to do is watch his team play, and it shows, man. Here's D'Amico Ryans. There's been a lot of smoke around the Texans, and several players have talked about it takes a special kind of player to play here. You can't just be cut from any kind of cloth kind of deal. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about not the fact that not everybody can play here in Houston and why that is.
For me, it's just a style of play, right? It's how we play. It's a relentless style of play. It's a swarming mentality from all of our entire team. And it's hard here, right? First, starting with the conditions in which we work in, it's not the same anywhere else, right? We work in different conditions. It's a little tougher. Guys have to be able to handle that. And the biggest thing is not complaining about it. Like, we're going to work hard. We're going to be physical. We're going to play fast. We're going to practice fast. And guys, if you want to, you're about that, then you could probably make it here.
Yes, that absolutely, Tyler. I started to hit
it
the button.
It is hard here.
Oh man, I'm telling you, it is. Don't complain about it, Tyler. The conditions are a little rough.
I'm sorry, Miko,
don't complain
about
it, man. That's to me, that, like, those words right there. Now, he said that after practice, but as I'm watching practice the first 10 minutes, I feel that. I see it. I think in these guys, in their play, it shows, and it's something that they should be proud of. And as fans, hell, we rep them, that we should be proud of as well. Flip to the other side of the ball, Ron. I think the one thing that jumped out to me, and this is fascinating because I wonder how it's going to all work out. Because the Texans were so good last year doing what they did, which, again, C.J. Stroud has talked about, just take the boring, right? And that's really what he did last year. Now, he was big in big moments. Don't get me wrong. I'm not minimizing the performance. I mean, I told you it's the best I've ever seen. But C.J., what made it all work through all the injuries and through the youth and every inexperience and all that, was his ability to take the boring consistently, like commit to it week in, week out. And you would think, right, we would all think, hey, man, look, just do more of the same. Just keep doing whatever the hell you were doing. Get the defense better. Get a little bit of a run game. And you go from winning 10 games to winning 12 games. But it's not quite that easy. Offensively, we saw this early on the first practice we went to. These dudes throw a seam route, ball's in the air, probably 20, 25 yards to Tank Dell. They caught it. Tank slid and caught it. This is the very first practice we saw. Boom, they come back. They throw a go route down the sideline. Nico Collins, C.J. Stroud threw it out of bounds, out of bounds in the end zone. But the point is they took two shots immediately in an aggressive fashion. And then after that practice, C.J. Stroud got up there and he was asked, hey, man, what are you focusing on? Where do you want to get better? And he went through a list of things. One of those things was, we want to be more aggressive on offense. We want to push the ball down the field on offense. Well, guess what they did today? The offense went out in the very, literally, fresh out of stretch, the offense went out, and the first thing they did was they took a shot on a go route to CJ's left to Tank Diggs, and it was an absolutely beautiful throw. Diggs stepped out of bounds right as he caught it. I couldn't tell from my angle if the ball was too far outside or if Diggs actually kind of lost track of where he was and didn't drag his feet. But it was a beautiful throw, beautiful catch. And I couldn't help but immediately think, yep, that's who the Texans want to be. The Texans are going to push teams aggressively this year down the field.
It opens so much when you do it. Like, I don't. It doesn't even matter if it's incomplete. Or hell, I mean, you don't want to get picked off. But it doesn't matter if you're trying.
Agreed.
And teams have the fear that you will do it. Like it just changes every. Not only the fear that you'll do it, and you got the personnel that can do it, and they've got multiple guys.
Yep.
That can go over the top and beat you for big plays.
We've talked about it a bunch, Ron. That's the key. Just show the defensive coordinator that you'll do it, and you'll scare the hell out of him. When you've got Diggs, Tank, and Nico Collins, you will absolutely scare the hell out of defensive coordinators. But until you do it, they're not going to fear it, right? And really, if you don't practice it all a camp, you're not going to be very good at it. And that's why I love what this approach in camp has been, is I don't think the Texans are going to go out there and just be balls to the wall and be a vertical, like just an all-out vertical attack. I think you're going to see more of what you saw last year. But when the time comes and a defense does try to suffocate, Atlanta last year, Baltimore in the playoffs, you look at how some defenses were able to shut down the Texans. Now the Texans are going to go, okay, we got a plan. We've got plays that we've repped. Our quarterback has great chemistry with these wide receivers throwing the deep ball. I know exactly what they want and how they're going to get there, and now we're going to go strike gas. I love the mindset of what the Texans are doing offensively, and it's blatantly obvious the way they start drills, the way they talk in the media, that when need be, they're going to have the ability to get vertical and get over the top and really, really threaten defenses deep down the field to the second level of the field as well as the third level of the field. So I'm stoked about that, man. It was on Front Street today. Ron, real quick, three things, or one other thing that consists of three. What jumped off the field to me today, and I know you got a couple of other ones, so I want you to throw those in there. These three guys jumped off the field to me today, and I want to pass it on. Laremy Tunsil, he ain't ready. It was a bad, bad day for the offensive line and in the run game and the pass game. And I think the biggest takeaway is, yeah, they got to get it together, but Laremy Tunsil's not ready. He's not in game shape. I think he all but admitted that in his press conference, that he basically said, don't worry, I'll be ready come week one. But he had to tap out of a couple of drills. I mean, a couple of team drives today where CJ was still in there. You'd rather it not happen. Eptio Helmet and Eric Fisher, or not Eric Fisher, Blake Fisher, I think it was, had to go. No, it wasn't. Who was it? It was
I think Cam Irving had
there you go, Cam Irving. Cam Irving would come in for him. So Tunsil, he's got some work to do to get game ready. Joe Mixon catches a shoot route, which ultimately is just envision a wheel route down the sideline. Joe Mixon teasing the hell out of me, man. I don't know what the run game's going to look like, but it's easy for me to get excited about Joe Mixon in the pass game right now. I saw him throw this shoot route, which is out of the backfield off the tight end or the tackle's hip, and you just run down the numbers there, and the quarterback throws it over the top. They missed it one time earlier in camp. Well, today they hit it right in stride, and Joe Mixon looks really, really comfortable in that pass game. He's teasing the hell out of me, Ron. I need to see him in a run game, but damn, that him in that pass game is going to be special. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, that might be potentially where a lot of his production and his difference making.
I'd be okay with it if a good chunk of his production, 25-30% of his production, comes in a pass game. I'd be cool with that. Number three, so you got Tunsil ain't ready. Joe Mixon on a shoot route, on a go route, in a pass game is good. Xavier Hutchinson ain't going away, man. Xavier Hutchinson had another really, really good day today, and he is just a super competitive dude that, again, I don't know if there's any tangible skill. Like, he's not the biggest, but he's big enough. He's not the most physical, but he's physical enough. He's got sticky, icky hands, so if the ball's within reach, he's going to catch it. And he appears to have great chemistry with all the quarterbacks, not just Case, who he works with. It was CJ today a couple times. It was Davis Mills today a couple of times. Xavier Hutchinson had a good little day today. So I got Tunsil, Joe Mixon, and Hutchinson. I know you had a couple of others, Ron, that stood out big time. You watched a lot of the defense today. What'd you see?
Yeah, to go along with what you said, how aggressive they were, I thought Kamari Lassiter had another good step forward day. Kellen Bullock looked pretty good as well today over there. We can go in depth with they. I thought those two stepped up in those spots and had a good day today for the Texans. So I thought to kind of piggyback off you said off the top, like, there was some good and some bad, but overall, like, damn, they got better as a football team today.
Yes.
They got
without a doubt,
they got better as a team today. And you said this earlier, Hill. I wouldn't be surprised if Sean McVay and D'Amico may have dinner tonight or whatever, if they do hang out, meet or whatever, thinking, dang, man, we should have got in here on Wednesday and got Wednesday and Thursday in.
Take him down tempo.
That could be a spot. That could be a choice.
I thought it was a good choice.
It's been too long for me, man.
Good choice.
I love it so much.
If the next time I'm really in for like a painful wake up the next day, I think I'm going to start my evening at El Tiempo. In other words,
I like that.
When I decide I'm just going to eat a hangover. Not that
that's smart plan.
I do tequila at El Tiempo, so I'd be fine there. But typically that leads to other things that could, a longer evening that could get me into trouble.
Breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
This must be pretty serious that you would do this as we need to go to break, but what's the breaking news?
Yeah, we're going to have something to talk about. More on Alex Bregman. If you remember yesterday, he was in the Astros lineup, but only as a DH, and
He's a DH today.
Yes, and Bregman told us yesterday, after the game, that it was a fluid situation about when he would get back to playing third base. Well, manager Joe Espada, he was just meeting with the media moments ago, Joe Espada said that the Astros will soon be exposing Alex Bregman to playing first base very soon so that they can get him playing somewhere defensively, Espada said. It is a possibility that Bregman could be seen playing first base on this road trip for the Astros.
Yeah, you never have to throw the ball at first.
Yeah, so something appears to be wrong with his arm.
Until you do.
I know.
But I get the point. I mean, I understand.
Bagwell got away with it.
Yeah, I mean, what is that? That doesn't concern me.
Let's pick up the pieces here on the other side.
That doesn't concern you?
Ron and I are the only two that hadn't played first base this year, Tyler.
No, I know, but you like Braggy at third.
That's out to Tyler. Put it to bed. He's not playing third for the Astros any longer.
He's not.
It's hard.
He's not going to play first either. As you said, welcome your DH. I mean, what happens if he has to throw the ball?
Well, he's got to play first. What? But I mean, he's got to play first, man.
He's got a DH. Bagwell did it with a bum shoulder for years.
Yeah, but can we talk about this after the break?
Can we do it? Because a bum shoulder is a little different than, hey, man, we're afraid that you might blow your elbow
out. You're right.
I
was literally just playing devil's advocate. But, yeah, we'll talk about that.
On the other side, we'll talk about this.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, if you missed it, Tyler came through with breaking news on Alex Bregman. This thing just keeps getting. It started off with Friday. Last Friday, Alex speaking to the media himself and saying he slept on his arm wrong, which led to some swelling behind the elbow that they were going to miss the weekend series. He missed the weekend series against the White Sox. Then he missed the first two games against the Red Sox. It was reported, or not reported, said by Joe Espada that we're hopeful Sunday night that he'll play Monday. And then Chandler Rome said he was never playing on Monday and probably won't play on Tuesday, which he did not. He missed five games in a row. Yesterday, he then started as the DH and led off yesterday. Led off with a home run, by the way. But he was the DH yesterday and then came out and said throwing and playing in the field would be a, quote, fluid situation. And this is the absolute latest. The Astros will expose Alex Bregman to first base soon in hopes that they can get him playing somewhere defensively. Joe Espada said it is a possibility. He sees action there on this road trip. Your reaction, Clint? Him playing
makes sense.
First base
makes sense. I mean, the he's obviously can't play third because the throwing aggravates it, or the throwing just risks the fact that something snaps and he can't. Now you lose the bat as well, and so you think, okay, go straight to DH, which I think makes the most sense, and you will probably see the majority of the time. But if Bregman can play first base, then that allows you the freedom to do as you've done with Diaz and Caratini, and it gives you a chance to rest. The legs, I guess, if you will, or protect Yordan Alvarez from the outfield of just everyday pounding out there. So I do a little bit of flexibility. I don't think he's going to be your everyday first baseman. I just think that it allows you some flexibility with one of your big bats in that DH slot. Diaz, Alvarez, and Bregman are three guys that I think are going to end up splitting that DH role. And obviously, they need all of them to be able to play somewhere in the field to some degree, or else they have to be the everyday DH. So I think it makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
All right, so what Bregman has said is he doesn't feel pain when he swings or throws. It is when his arm is in weird motions or weird situations is when he feels the pain. I would imagine if they are moving him off third base, fellas, the thought is they're moving him off third base because, as you said, the fear of him having to throw and the stress of him having to throw. Now, you don't have to throw the ball nearly as much at first base, but you still have to throw the ball. There are still situations where you may have to throw the ball. Obviously, not as much as third base. But, I mean, there's a situation where sometimes it's a cutoff man he has to. Sometimes, if he's going to go get a pop pop fly or running down a catch and there's somebody on base or something. A ball hit right to him to start to turn a double play. Sometimes, a bunt or something to throw somebody at third, whatever. It's not like you never, like, to me, it's just like if you're avoiding him having to throw, like, it seems like, and I don't love it because I don't love Yordan having to play every day in left field, but it feels like he needs to be the DH. There's clearly a fear that he is going to injure himself if he has to throw. I mean, I would think.
Bryce Harper did it, yeah, right?
He played. No, not until he had his surgery. Afterwards, right. He DH'd.
It is a little different, yeah.
He DH'd with that huge thing, and then he played first the next year after he had his Tommy John. I'm sure the text line, and Greg will tell me that if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty certain that
Shut up,
the case.
Greg.
This is interesting to me. He's going to play. I hope he's good to continue swinging, but taking ground balls, catching the ball. Clearly there's concern with him having to throw.
Yeah, that elbow has a problem in there.
What like, in the
clearly
hell happened? I just got to get.
I mean, it is comforting at least see that bomb in the first inning yesterday. So at least for right now, he can hit.
And that's hitting's fine. So yeah. I mean, he's just got to be the DH.
As long as we don't lose the bat, guys, we're fine.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying we're not going to be fine, or that I'm like overly freaking out or anything. But I mean, I do hate that we're not going to have that glove at third.
Well, I hate that we're not going to have that glove at third as well. But the fact that we're not losing the player overall, and he's still going to be at the plate. Look, the Astros aren't going to lose a World Series or not make an eighth trip to an ALCS because of the third baseman in Bregman level glove.
That's fair.
To your point, though, I hope that they don't, like, he doesn't injure that thing more that, as you said.
Playing first, yeah. I wonder if it's like risk management. Like, at third base, you're going to throw it, you know, I don't know how many times in a series you throw it, but, and at first base, you're going to throw it 10% of that much, and it's just a risk management. I don't know. I don't know what the thought is, but I'm with you. I would just eliminate the risk of losing the player overall than to even risk it. But
because basically what they're saying is, yeah, we have a concern of him having to throw the ball, but maybe our concern with him to throw the ball is it's more of how often he has to throw it.
It's not ideal.
And if he only has to really, really throw the ball and uncoil three times in a week, we're fine, as opposed to him having to.
How about that in 2024?
I don't know.
From Abreu to Bregman at first.
Because I'm going to tell you, the first thing that will happen, I'll tell you, that man's going to play first base, and there's going to be a runner on first, and there's going to be a ground ball hit right to him.
He's going to throw it to second.
It's going to happen. I'm waiting
on the runner on first, and somebody rips one down the first base line, and that runner goes from first to home, and he's got to cut off a throw and hose guy.
Or listen, if I'm a team, I'm testing it. Oh man, let me get a runner on third base. I am squeeze bunting to him every time to make him have to throw the ball to home or to see if he'll do it.
Well, look, then he should play every game against the Orioles. I'd love for this lineup to start bunting all the time.
I'm just saying, in certain situations, I guess maybe we'll hear some more from Espada, but or hopefully from hell, I don't know. I don't know that I'll believe anything that they will have to say. But it's
don't matter what they say.
It's just this is a weird thing. Like, we'll see. I wonder if he will play first base. They said it could happen on the trip. He's the DH again tonight.
He's taking ground balls right now at Camden at first.
Are you watching? Is he just taking them and then stepping on the bag?
I haven't seen any video yet.
Is he underhand tossing back?
Rolling it back.
Guys, this happened allegedly from him. This happened staying in a hotel.
Yeah, that pisses me off more than anything. Like, just the news is going to suck no matter what. Like, don't tell us he slept on his elbow wrong and now he has to play first base. Like, he clearly did something else. Am I reaching?
I think he aggravated it playing baseball. He hurt his elbow playing baseball, and then I don't know. I think he just woke up one day. He woke up one day and it was swollen and blamed it on the sleeping.
But why would you say it? Like that? Why would you say that? That sounds better than what you just said. Yeah, man, I aggravated doing, just been sore from the wear and tear of playing baseball. Instead, you go to
Yeah, man, that Four Seasons we stayed in gave me a lot of hell. I got my arm stuck on whatever. All right, a little bit more from camp, some good and some bad of what we saw today, and somebody is going to force themselves into get more playing time. We'll just
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
If you are wondering, Alex Bregman taking ground balls at first base right now in Camden Yards in Baltimore. However, he is not throwing. I assume he is taking ground balls, stepping on the bag, taking the glove off, and then tossing it with that hand. So he's not even using the other hand.
He's rolling the ball.
But not even using the
right hand. He's going lefty.
He's catching it,
like Abbott,
fielding it, stepping on the bag, taking the glove off, Jim Abbott style, and then tossing it over. They don't even want to use that.
Bring a glove into it, man.
Didn't even.
That's what he did.
That was one of the most amazing things, man. And he just did it so quickly every time.
I think I had 42 Jim Abbott. Was it Jim Abbott?
Jim. Yeah.
I think I had 42 of his baseball cards same year. Same card.
Coming
man.
In.
Oh, I had a lot of Jim Abbott cards, man.
Oh, Jim Abbott, boy.
You remember him, Tyler?
I mean, I don't remember him watching him play, but I know who he is.
My man didn't have a hand, Chief.
Yeah.
Switching that glove off.
My man didn't have a hand.
What,
he threw that
what
down.
Years was he playing?
I mean, had to be 90s, 80s and 90s, late 80s, late 80s through the 90s, yeah. I guess. Got to be, right?
So I was probably a little kid and hit back into his career. But no, I know who he is.
I always wondered if he was being fairly treated with the gold glove, folks.
They handicapped the voting
of
that.
No, I think
form.
They just automatically, like,
I see what you did.
He's
there.
Yeah, I know. What
he did. I didn't
automatically
even mean to. That's
automatically
scary.
Thought to themselves, he's not, like, he just can't be a great fielder.
Dude doesn't have a hand.
He actually was a great fielder. considering,
yeah,
he's better than most.
But I feel like he just never got a real look because of.
Well, I mean, elite. I don't know if it's possible. Better than most with what you have to deal with. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, let's step out of that. All right,
probably a good idea for one of us step into something.
Yeah, man. they handicapped it is what I believe. All right, I want to say this at camp today. I was watching. I had me a spot, Clint, and I know you were standing up, but I had me a spot where I could clearly turn and look at the defense, and then turn and look at the offense, and they were really helpful. Because CJ and the offense would go, bam. And then it was like almost like Matt Stafford and the Rams offense were waiting
and allow me, and I was able to just get a good rhythm of seeing play after play. Shout out to you think she was here today,
Kelly?
That's what I was gonna ask y'all. If y'all happen to see her out there,
I don't have a visual of Kelly.
Yeah, girl.
And I just saw her in a commercial yesterday.
I do. She wasn't there.
I don't have Kelly Staff.
Business trip bailed. Stay back.
Yeah. Leave L.A. Come down in this heat. I'll pass.
Kel's got a little bit of a Barbie doll.
No, I don't know. She's probably here. You think, no, he's not playing in this game. So, yeah, well, yeah. They'll chill with the kids.
Oh, right.
Or maybe they go down there and have
a good time. Well, they're Texas folks. She's not a Texas. Is she a Texas gal? Obviously, he is. Highland Park.
Yeah.
I think they met at Georgia, though, clearly.
They met at Georgia.
While she was, bedding down his third string quarterback. She upgraded.
She was just trying to do it to make him jealous.
I mean, it was a hell of a deal.
Speaking of Georgia.
She went from bedding down the third string quarterback to the number one overall pick.
Yeah, girl.
Speaking of Georgia.
Super Bowl champion.
When I was turning to watch that defense, Clay, I got to say this. You talked about guys that stood out. I think we can go a little deeper. Kamari Laster. I said this yesterday with B. Scott. You can check that out, 440 on the Odyssey app. Texans report with Brandon. I said, to me, very much like Kenyon Green, my thought was, hey, hold your own, be able to win some, lose some. We know you're going to probably lose some. It's your first year. Teams are going to test you, go after you. But hold your own and look and play like you belong out there. And you it's not a situation of, hey, man, we got to take this kid out because he's just getting done in. And I think he's done that thus far. And today was a test. He played one preseason game in which Daniel Jones had refusal to do anything that made sense and never really threw his way. And that was the only preseason game he played. And then he had this joint practice today. And Clint, he was matched up often with Cooper Kupp, who is one of the best receivers in football. Triple Crown winner, won the MVP in the Super Bowl a few years ago. He was matched up against him, and I would say he fit the bill. He held his own in that situation. I think, you know, he got Kamari a couple of times in the red zone. There was a touchdown in the red zone, got a couple of plays, but Kamari was aggressive, had several pass breakups. And I got to give it to him. I thought today he passed another test to me. And like I said, he didn't dominate the matchup, but he held his own against a really, really, really good NFL wide receiver. And I think it's another step forward. Now, to the point we've talked about, there wasn't a big test of down the field, deep go route, things like that. But still, quickness, having to turn your hips, having to do – he had to deal with that, and I thought Kamari Laster was really, really, really good at taking that next step today, going against that player.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's going to win some, he's going to lose some. All corners do. Good to hear. I didn't get a chance to really bear down on the specifics of the defense. I was able to glance over and watch plays, but I wasn't able to really zero in on any one particular player the way I was on the offensive side of the football. But there's... Look, I mean, I doubt very seriously that – I guess the overall point, it's a safe play. Right now, I view it as a safe play. You're going to have a hell of a pass rush. You got Derek Stingley who can travel if need be, shadow whatever receiver if need be, if you get into a pinch or if the game or the situation dictates that. And I think for the most part, D'Amico Ryans is not going to – ask him to line up and play press man with no deep help down in, down
out. Not going to put him in a bad
spot. So, I mean, really, the only way this thing backfires, right, is if we see the first month of the season where teams in critical moments are targeting Kamari Lassiter and they're targeting him in a way of where, you know, he's struggling and they're beating him deep. You know, where he is overwhelmed and staying in his back pedal and giving all kind of cushion over there on third and five and giving up throws of 8 to 10 yards kind of deal. Like, that's the only way that this thing, this anointing this second round pick as the starter immediately, that's the only way this thing goes wrong. It looks like they were they were right so far. I think there's very little risk with, and this is even if he is not, you know, even if he has some issues in his game, he has some holes in his game. We haven't seen yet because we, but even if he does, it's going to be very, very difficult for a team to just go, we're going to crush the Texans by doing this. We're going to crush the Texans by attacking this young guy. So we'll see how it goes. It'll have to be an absolute mess for it to be a miss. Like the risk associated with it at this point, I think is slim, given how well he's played and given what D'Amico's capable of and given what this pass rush is capable of doing.
Yeah. All right, on the other side of things, because I think last year took some good steps forward, Kenyon Green's a part of this too. How would you describe what you saw with the offensive line today?
Oh, it was not good. It was bad. I would say if I had to pick one unit, there's two football teams out there. If I had to pick one unit overall of, let's say, who won the day or who impressed the most, I would say the defensive line with no Aaron Donald of the St. Louis, of the L.A. Rams won the day. They got Jared Verse out of Florida State, first-round defensive end. I think in the second round, they took Brandon Fisk? What's his first name?
Yeah. Brandon Braden.
The inside defensive tackle who also plays outside some in this defense. They took him in the second round, or was it late first? But anyway, they were the first two picks. The Florida State teammates are now teammates in L.A., and those dudes are a problem, particularly Fisk. Fisk is a problem inside. But their Aaron Donald-less defensive front is tremendous. And to me, in the run game and the pass game, overall, they did a ton of team now. But overall, I thought more times than not, that defensive front did work against the Texans.
We don't like that.
I mean, had them reeling. I remember at one point late in practice, I literally looked. I can't remember who was standing next to me. I literally looked. They might as well blow this. They might as well blow this practice up. Like, just call it up. I mean, CJ Stroud. Like it looked.
They weren't getting anything done.
We wouldn't. Yeah, it had just gotten. You know, they were tired. Laremy Tunsil had checked out at this point. I think Kenyon Green had checked out at this point. So you've got CJ out there missing two of his starting offensive linemen, and guys are getting turned sideways immediately. I watched Kendrick Green like.
Oh yeah,
that was I didn't rough. Know in close quarters like that you could literally completely whiff on somebody. I watched that happen, and the defensive lineman was right in CJ's face immediately. I was just like, all right, they're spent.
That,
they're
that
done.
Was off.
It's
him
over.
Just getting bull rushed into the ground.
So yeah, I think this first like real live action for a lot of these guys. I think it exposed some folks, and I think it showed some folks like, hey, the next 2 weeks there's things are going to get real. And we got a lot of work to do. So I would say the one crew that really showed out is the defensive line for LA. And I think the one unit that struggled the most is opposite them is the Texans offensive line. Not surprised that the run game was wishy-washy, was up and down.
The pass protection was interesting.
That surprised me because, like I said, it was – there were several times where C.J. Stroud, the pocket just collapsed on him.
They closed it down. Yeah,
there were several times where he's running around and the whistle would have been blown. The sack would have happened, you know, 5 seconds ago and he's running around throwing the ball. So, I mean, it was just it got to a point where it was a practice where I imagine D'Amico was like, let's go and get this thing over with.
Yeah. That was the pass protection. That was kind of surprising. All right, coming up, we'll give you the latest. There's now updates here on Alex Bregman and updates here on Kyle Tucker. We'll give you the latest for that and get you ready for this big four-game series that starts tonight in Baltimore. As well, we'll let you hear from C.J. Stroud. He speaks about today's joint practice. Let you hear all of that. Coming up next, a little 5 o'clock fire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.